admin and admins.
This late service will be, using the order of worship that's found on page five in the manual. And Pastor Christ's absence, we will relay the communion service to another day. Let us begin the service within 6:09, wake awake for night is come.
Thank you.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we plead for refuge Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given Thy name to the last Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and at this state grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase us in the knowledge of Thee, and of Thy Lord, and give the reasons of Thy word, to the end. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on His name, He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Show me your ways. O Lord, teach me your paths. Thank you.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Son, you have revealed to us that heaven and earth shall pass away, that our bodies shall rise again, and that we shall all appear before the judgment seat. We beseech you to keep us in your word by your Holy Spirit. Establish us in the true faith, graciously defend us from sin, and preserve us in all temptations, that our hearts may not be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, but we may ever watch and pray, trusting fully in your grace, await with joy the glorious coming of your Son, and at the last obtain eternal salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever the one true God, world without end.
Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between many peoples, and render decisions for mighty distant nations. They will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. And each one of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Though all the peoples walk, each one in the name of his God, as for us, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather the outcasts. Even those who I have afflicted, I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation, and the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on and forever. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson, and also the text for our sermon today, is from the fifth chapter in the book of James, beginning at verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, yet being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Please rise for the graduate. Straighten up and lift up your heads. O give ear, Shepherd of Israel. You who are enthroned above the cherubim. O God of hosts, turn again, we beseech you. Even the shoot which your right hand has planted. O Lord God of hosts, restore us. Alleluia. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 21st chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 25th verse. Jesus said to his disciples, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourselves that summer is now near. Even so you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell in the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have the strength to escape these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Here endeth the Gospel. Please remain standing as we confess with the church throughout the millennia, the Apostles' Creed, found on the top of page 12 in your hymnal.
"I believe in God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. Ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. The blessing shall come to judge us quickly and dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the forgiveness of sins, the grace of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the rest."
Please be seated. The next hymn is hymn number 64. "Jesus, I Church with Longing Eyes," in 64.
Thank you. To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you. Amen. We hear a portion of the epistle of St. James, which was read earlier. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So far the text, let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. An American humorist once characterized modern life with the following prayer: Dear God, give me patience, and I want it right now. That almost seems like a contradiction in modern life. We want virtues which will help us live a better life, but we don't want to wait too long to see the results. This is reflected in both the secular as well as the Christian advice books on a host of subjects, whether it is 30 days to a better you or 30 days to a better prayer life. The idea is that results can be achieved in a relatively short period of time, certainly not more than 30 days at the most. Needless to say, life isn't always like that. Things become more troublesome when people encounter difficulties for which there are no quick and easy solutions. The problem that James is addressing is persecution, which the early Jewish Christians experienced in Jerusalem. At rare times, the persecution could result in death. And that's what happened to James when in 62 AD the Romans were replacing governors and the religious authorities in Jerusalem, and they took advantage of this in the absence of the Roman governor and illegally seized James and put him to death. Most of the time, though, the persecution was more along the lines of social isolation and economic discrimination. It affected the lives of early believers and also seemingly had a bad effect on the relations with each other. James thus tells us to be patient. This brings me to the theme for today's sermon: Patience serves God's purposes. This will be developed in three parts. Patience is not resignation. Patience is God's gift to believers, and patience strengthens hearts. Patience is not resignation. The James who wrote this letter to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, and probably the rest of Palestine, was Jesus' relative. During Jesus' lifetime, James did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah. After Jesus' resurrection, however, Jesus appeared to James, as recorded in 1 Corinthians. By Pentecost, it would seem that James believed in Jesus as the Messiah, as recorded in Acts 1 and 1 Corinthians 9. James' belief and piety were such that even though he technically was not an apostle, he became the leader of the Jerusalem church. Paul even refers to James as one of the pillars of the church in Galatians 2:7, and ranks him ahead of Peter and John as well as himself. James wrote this letter about 45 AD, before the Jerusalem Council met in 49 and 50, to deal with the influence of Gentiles. While James was the head of the Jerusalem church, the church itself was poor, tired, oppressed, and depressed. The first few verses of chapter 5 bring this out, where it reads, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming to you. Riches have rotted your garments and have become eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived luxuriously on the land and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you." The problems which are clearly identified is that the rich, absentee landlords oppress the poor through rapaciousness, withholding of wages, and wantonness. To withhold a day's labor's wages was a sin which cried out to God for vengeance. as can be seen in Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24. To withhold a wage meant that a family would go hungry. For the early Christians in Jerusalem, it seems they were victims of the ruling classes, perhaps last hired and first fired. Since the rich are not described as brothers, it is probable that these were unbelievers. There are three possible responses to this kind of oppression: armed resistance, resignation, or waiting patiently with a purpose. Armed resistance was tried by the Jews against the Romans and began in 66 AD and ended in AD 70 with the Roman conquest and destruction of Jerusalem. Resignation, or sitting around grinding one's teeth, destroys the soul. Waiting patiently with a purpose, however, offers hope in an otherwise hopeless situation. What is that? Because James gives his readers God's perspective on things, the rich may think that they have it made, but God says otherwise. As an example, James speaks about the farmer who waits patiently for his crops and prays to God to send rain at the proper times. There is nothing else a farmer can do, but the farmer waits with a purpose, because he knows that when the crop is harvested, it will yield a rich bounty. Likewise, in waiting for the promise of Jesus' return, the believer then and now knows that Jesus' promise is eternal life with him, a life without tears, sorrow, sickness, or death. But this waiting is a product of a faith that undergoes tests and trials in this world and realizes that patience is God's gift to believers. Paul tells us that patience is one of the fruits of the spirits. The Greek word for patience is made up of two separate words, long and suffering. As such, the first shows God's attitude towards us. God is long-suffering, or patient towards us. This is clearly taught in the Old Testament, as we read in Exodus 34, where God speaks of himself, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. And then Paul says to the Romans, or do you think lightly of kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? There's no question that God promises to punish sin, but he also shows us his patience and long-suffering when we sorrow over our sins and repent of our sins. We know to whom we can turn for forgiveness. Patience then directs our attention to Jesus. The letter to the Hebrews asks us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, as he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That Jesus endured the cross is another New Testament word for suffering long, for persevering under trials. For us and for our sins, Jesus patiently suffered on the cross. He did so because of the joy that by such patient endurance he would earn for us the forgiveness of our sins and the subsequent joy of heaven itself. Jesus' earthly life was a life which prepared him for the cross. There was no way to take a shortcut. Jesus went to the tree of death so that by rising on the third day, he could become our tree of life. One of the fruits of the tree is patience, or long-suffering. This patience enables us to not only endure the trials of life, but also look forward to the joys which will await us at Jesus' right hand when he will come again with glory. Waiting with a purpose shows us that patience strengthens hearts. We need to have our hearts strengthened, because if we are just resigned to our fate in this world, grumbling and grinding our teeth in discontent, then we have misunderstood what patience is all about. This strengthening enables us to overcome the resignation of despair. the result of strengthening is shown in our text. Verses 8 through 11 say, "You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." James was addressing a problem in the congregation. Instead of having patience, the believers in Jerusalem were complaining against each other. Perhaps some had jobs and some did not. Who or what is to blame? Comparatively speaking, some were seemingly better off than others. Again, the cycle of blame and mutual recrimination cycles ever downward and is seemingly endless. Where does it all lead? It leads to a spiritual dead end, dead in sin and trespasses. A picture is almost like that of naughty children who are misbehaving in a classroom. Then all of a sudden, there is a whisper, "The teacher's coming." In this case, the voice of James booms out, "Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." To persist in sin means to meet Jesus as judge. The picture is not pretty. But this word of law is to shock the congregation into remembering that their Savior does not want to meet them as a judge, but as a merciful and compassionate Savior who is willing to forgive. That Jesus stands at the door, however, is also a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement to put their troubles into perspective, the perspective of eternity. James tells the people to look at the prophet who patiently endured. For example, as Amos, who was forbidden to speak, or Elijah, who was pursued by Jezebel, or Jeremiah, who was imprisoned by King Zedekiah. These were men of faith who stood steadfast in God's word. Of this persecution, Jesus spoke himself. "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before you." Paul speaks in the same manner when he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things." Can we say patience in all things? They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. This patience, which is God's gift and always has a purpose, strengthens the believer's heart of faith. This strengthening enables the believer not only to live with the persecution that comes from without, but also enables him or her to live with fellow believers, to live in patience without sinning either against God or one's neighbor. Can we live without sinning? No. That is why God calls us to daily repentance. That is why he offers us his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, so that we might be strengthened to live for him and for one another, patiently awaiting his coming. Advent is a time of waiting for Jesus to come. We cannot hurry Jesus up. In times of persecution, James puts patience in the perspective of eternity. Patience is waiting with a purpose, and not just resigned to one's fate. It is God's gift to us. It is shown in the patience of Jesus, who, after a lifetime of preparation, went to the cross and endured it to win for us forgiveness and eternal life. It is the patience that strengthens our hearts to live lives of repentance under God's forgiveness. It is being assured that in the end, God will indeed right all wrongs. In Jesus, God has shown us what true patience is, and it cannot be better expressed than in the words of Psalm 103. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness." Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Cause all useful arts to flourish among us. Be thou the God of all.
Except we beseech thee our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers together, with the offerings we bring before thee, which is our reasonable service. We especially pray for those who are sick or ill. We especially remember Nancy, Roy, his brother Gerald, Jean Niblett, Marlene Puthier, John Luke, Don's nephew, Lee, and Rose, one of Don's caregivers, and Kurt and her husband, Sue, the Kurt's neighbor, who is undergoing chemotherapy, and Carolyn's friend Sue, for Don Drews, for Richard Hawker, for Bruce Scheuerman, Jane Sandine, for Chloe and Daggy, the Breeden twins, for Pastor Doug Priesta, for Pastor Robert List, and especially we pray this morning for Pastor Hart, that his recovery may be full and complete, that he would again be able to serve us and the kingdom in the coming years. And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work thou hast given us to do while it is day, before the night cometh, when no man can do it. And when our last hour shall come, support us by thy power, receive us into thine everlasting kingdom, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost forever and ever. It is also cause to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.